appreciate you, man. I appreciate you listening to the Lord. Thank you. That was a word, amen? It just isn't a word in a song, but it's a song that has a word. And God spoke in that. Thank y'all for letting us have some time off this morning. We enjoyed it. And over the weekend, we had a great time up at Pickwick. Just to catch our breath. Believe me, we need it every now and then, as you know about that. Thank you for that. I'm so glad for Brandon to be preaching this morning and to let us know what God's doing in his life over in Asia. And let's continue to pray for him. But I'm going to tell you something. I know why Brandon loves this church. Deb and I love y'all. And listen, by the way, I have not had an opportunity to say thank you for last Sunday night. That was special. And thank you. We appreciate it. Not only for your gift, but we appreciate you. Appreciate your love. Let me tell you, there is no value for love. That is valueless. And we love you. And thank you for loving us. It is well taken, believe me. Thank you. And let me tell you again, when he comes, and God's going to bring him to follow up what God's doing in our lives here, he's going to love this place. And you will love him. Because you ask Matt, ask Jeff, how they feel the love of this church as they lead. It's a great place, and I feel it. Let's see what God's got to say tonight. But Deb and I love y'all for just the way you love us. There's a guy that went to one of these places that you buy this stuff, like a flea market in a yard, and he went in this place in Pennsylvania, and he saw this painting that had a country scene on it. And he said, I really wasn't crazy about the country scene, but he said, I was real crazy about the frame. So he said, I bought the picture for $4. And he said, and I brought it back to the house, and I noticed that there was a tear in the canvas. So upon further investigation, the frame just fell apart in my hands. And so I'm thinking, I got ripped right here. This frame is just falling apart. But then he noticed something was behind the canvas. And upon further investigation, what he thought at face value was only $4, was worth a lot more than that, and what was folded behind that canvas painting. It was a folded copy of the Declaration of Independence that a guy by the name of Dunlop had block printed. Not the calligraphy, that's the fancy one that we see in the National Archives, but the block letters, there was 250 copies. And he sent that copy out throughout the colonies, the 13 colonies, to let the people know that we had declared our independence from England. Somebody looked at that was in the Civil War artifacts, not the Revolutionary War. He said, man, you should have that thing appraised. Because he really didn't know all this stuff that I just told you about it. And he went in and they said, sure, it was a Dunlop, and it was a printed copy from 1776. That $4 piece of art at face value, the Declaration of Independence that was behind it, brought $2.42 million. Well, we see on the surface of our lives with God. Our relationship with Him. He says this again. Your eye has not seen, because it is hidden from view. Your ear has not heard it, because you never heard what I'm about to tell you. And your mind has never comprehended on its best day the things that I have prepared for you if you love me. God's been just talking to me about this. The true riches, listen, the true riches that He's going to talk about tonight, the true riches is found in Him. You mean just trusting Jesus? Yes. The Lord said, listen. He told the woman at the well, you drink this water, you will thirst again. But you drink of me, and you will never thirst again. He told the people that had just been fed with a little boy's Captain D's Happy Meal, and they came back for another free meal. He said, you think that's something? That's nothing. I can do that with a snap of my finger. I can give you food that you'll never hunger. The food that you're really, really looking for. And the other stuff, piece of cake. But what we do, we focus upon what He can give us instead of the giver. And Jesus said this in Matthew 6. Seek first me. Look at me. And all of these things that you worry about will be added to you. Continually. Just trust me. When Elisha came to a widow and he said, can you feed me? And she said, feed you? No, I can't. I've got a little bit of oil left. Now listen, a little bit of oil left, and I'm out here gathering sticks for me and my sons because my husband has died. We have no income. And so I am basically preparing our last meal. And Elisha said, prepare a meal for me first, the prophet of God. And God will take care of the rest. She prepared that meal. He said, go get all the containers you can in the community. God's going to take care of your needs. They brought all the canisters from all the friends. Don't you know they're saying, what are y'all doing? This is so amazing. And we don't believe this. We do not believe this. Because actions speak louder than what? Words. Elisha says, start pouring the oil out of that little bitty container you got of a little bit of oil left in it. And start pouring. And she poured, and the son's eyes got that big. Her boy's eye just kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and jar after jar after canister, jar after jar was filled with oil. So finally, she says, any more? We don't have any more. There was so much provided that she was able to pay all of her debts. God took care of it. telling you, listen. Our last focus should be on what He can give us, because that's no problem. That is no problem. Look what he says. First of all, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then we're going to James 4:13. But I want you to write this down. 1 Timothy 6:17. Paul is writing this to the young pastor at Ephesus, one of the greatest churches in the history of Christianity. And we'll be in Ephesians in a few weeks. Teach those who are rich in this world. Now, first of all, you just check me out. Chuck, don't worry about me then. Remember what we said? If you make $32,000 a year or more, you're in the top 1% of wealthy people in the world. So are we wealthy compared to the rest of the world? Yes, we are. Go to Nicaragua, to a village that we went to, and you'll see how wealthy we are. So this applies to us. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God. Here it comes. Who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. True or false? True. Tell you what, Jeff, I remember singing that song, "Trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord." I remember that as a kid, singing that song, but I had never really fully embraced it until I just saw it on the big screen. God said, "I dare you to try me out. I dare you. If He don't come through for what we need, He's a liar. And I don't think He's a liar. He cannot lie. He will come through." Listen to what he says. Knowing that to be true, listen to what he has to say. From his brother James. "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit." Well, Chuck, that's good. You should plan on success. Listen, this is going to upset normal capitalism. Got it? This is upsetting the American dream, which I love the American dream. And you don't hear anybody that supports capitalism more than Mr. Hampton does in U.S. history. You better believe I'm pro-America. I am big on capitalism. You can be anything you want to be. But let me tell you something. God says I'm a lot bigger than capitalism. I'm a lot bigger than capitalism. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? You have no idea. So why do you plan as if tomorrow is certain, because it is not? True or false? It's not. So don't live your life as if you've got everything neatly planned. Well, what do we do then? Your life is like the morning fog. Here a little while, then it's gone. This morning, stepped outside. Sometimes I'll do this when I'm bored. And I will just blow my breath out there. You don't even have to do vape for that. You know what I'm saying? You just blow out there and you got all this smoke going out there. And it's healthier, true or false. It's a lot healthier, Pastor Chuck. It is, you know. But here's the thing. But once it comes out of your mouth, it's here. What? It's gone. Do you know what they say about the how quick our life is? According to BusinessInsider.com, is anybody here 90 tonight? Anybody 90? Raise your hand. Anybody 90? Okay, there's some people that are 90 that look like they're 70. Okay, here's the thing. Do you know you have a 30% chance of making it to 90? 1 in 3 chance, basically. That's a little alarming. You know, I mean, you know, 30%. But, you know, well, by the way, if you take care of yourself, put the Lord first, who knows? You know, Methuselah lived to be what? 969 years old. Of course, that was way back then. But 90, 30% chance. And if you have a 14 and a 1,000 chance to see 100. So that means usually what? We got about 90 to 100 years old. That's it. And we're healthier now than we've ever been. Did you know that? There's more 100 people now than forever in America. People living to be 100. But here's the thing. I even got a life insurance policy to pass 100. Got it? I'm planning on being around here. But that's not my call. Amen? That's the Lord's call. But y'all, listen. Life is so temporary. True or false? But we act like it's what? Forever. And Jesus said, I tell you what, and you hold on to life as if it's forever. Paul said this, you are only a stranger here on earth. You're just visiting. This isn't even your place. Deb and I stayed at a place this weekend. It's not even our place. Every time we go somewhere, all of us, when we go someplace, it's not even our place. We're just visiting. And he said, you're just visiting here on earth. He said, your real home is where? Your real home is in heaven, not here on the earth. But we put all of our eggs in the basket called what? Earth. He said, what you ought to say is this. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. He makes the call, true or false. What is it? Trust in the Lord with how much of our heart? All of our heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, even with our bank accounts, amen? And He will what? He said, I promise you, I will direct your path. And let me just be transparent with y'all. Y'all know we have a son that lives in Grand Prairie, Texas. And we love Chad. He's our only child. Do you know how much we love him? I cannot tell you how much Deb and I love Chad. But God doesn't want us to be out there with Him right now. Deb and I are not living our lives according to what we might want to happen. We're following God's plan in our life every day. And if He told us to go to Grand Prairie, Texas, we'd go to Grand Prairie, Texas. He said go close there, we'd go close there. But we're following Him even with that. We're not following our desire to be with our son and our grandkids and our daughter-in-law. We're following what God tells us to do. That's what God says. Listen, don't be guided by your own ideas. Follow me, and I promise you, I will always lead you to the right place at the right what? Time. If you'll trust me. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans. And all such boasting is evil. Have you ever, y'all remember the guy named Canute Rockne over Notre Dame? You know, they make so much about Notre Dame. Notre Dame just, they can win two ball games. They're number one in America. But anyway, Notre Dame has had a history of being a great football team. Canute Rockne is considered one of the greatest college football players in history. But he got cocky one time in the 1920s. On November the 29th, let me get the exact date down, Canute Rockne. It was November the 27th, 1926. He was playing a team called Carnegie Tech. They had beaten them the last three seasons, 111-19 combined score. He was not worried about Carnegie Tech. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go see the Army-Navy game. 100,000 people is going to be there in Chicago. I'm going to see it because my agent wants me to go and Pop Warner to go and another coach. And he wants us to write about it. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm thinking about taking my first team up there. We don't even need our first team. Carnegie Tech heard about it. Athletic director said, Canute Rockne, you're not showing up and you're not taking your first team. He said, that's an insult to us. He said, okay, the guys could come. But Canute Rockne went to the Army-Navy game because he wasn't worried about Carnegie Tech. Didn't even play his regulars, his first teamers in the first quarter. Carnegie Tech was a 5-1 odds of losing. Notre Dame had had one touchdown scored on them in the entire year. They had been 8-0. One touchdown. Carnegie Tech beat him 19-0 in one of the greatest upsets in college football history because Canute Rockne thought himself too big for the game. You can't make your plans ahead of what God wants. Pride comes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before what? Fall. I call it Humpty Dumptyism. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall because Humpty Dumpty got too tall. And Humpty Dumpty, I added that one. And Humpty Dumpty, I said, I didn't remember that in the poem. Okay, I added it. Okay, ask Deb about me adding stuff in songs or making up new words in it when I forget what they are. But Humpty Dumpty had a what? Great fall. And listen what it say. All the king's army and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And us either. But God can. He said, when you humble yourself, I will lift you up. And that's when you stand the tallest, when you're at the lowest point, where we need you. Do you need him? Or do you need that? A debit card. Do you need me? The children of Israel learned it for 40 years in a desert. And he fed them every day and gave them water every day. 6 days a week and provided enough on the seventh day, on the sixth day, for them to have 2 days. Then listen to this. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver corroded, the very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. You can't take it what? With you. Back in the first century, when they looked upon wealth, they looked upon it in three ways. Food, like we do today. Okay. Clothing. And gold or silver. So some believe, and I believe this, that James is saying your food is rotting because you got so much stuff in your pantry. It's out of date before you ever get to it. Something's wrong with that picture. And you got so many clothes in your closet, as we talked about a week ago, that the moths are getting to it because you don't ever wear it. Matter of fact, if I check some of your clothes, you still got the tags on them. And the gold and silver, you're not even using it. It's sitting around gathering dust instead of allowing me to accumulate things in your life. Jesus said, do not store up treasures here on the earth. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. For listen, James says, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. Why do you think we fought the Civil War? Did you know that half of the millionaires in America lived in Natchez, Mississippi in the 1850s? Half of the millionaires. One out of three Americans in the South at the time of the Civil War were enslaved against their will. Almost 4 million people. Because of people trying to make money, as they do today throughout the world, trying to make money on the backs of people. Human trafficking in the cities of America. Sex trafficking. Drug trafficking. Trying to use people for their own benefit. By the way, a little side note, this ain't gonna cost you anything. You got it, this is free. And Lydia, Lydia's gonna say, Pastor Chuck, thank you. Look here. If somebody serves you at a restaurant, tip them. Well, they're supposed to be glad they got a job. Tip them because, you see, they don't get minimum wage most of the time, if I understand. So their tip is a part of their salary. Deb and I always tip. We usually always do 20%. If we can afford the meal, just pray about that. Just pray if God wants you to do that. You have spent your years, as we have the time of commitment, on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. You've taken it all for you. Listen, y'all listen. When I first started preparing for this, I said, I don't know if that's, let me be honest, may I? Very interesting. And then God took care of it. He said, I'll take care of the interest level here. And, God just speaks into my life about it. And boy, it became interesting. So he really did. It's like he was saying, I'm going to take care of the interest level. Did you know during the Industrial Revolution of the late 1800s, There were immigrants coming to America left and right. Maybe some of your people, some of my people. By the way, y'all, we came across dirt poor. I guarantee you, if you saw the people getting off the boat there in Ellis Island, you would be shocked. You'd have no idea the poverty you came, your family and my family came with to America. Just living for the American dream. But you know, at the end of the 1800s, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. 1/8 of Americans owned 7/8 of the wealth. The factory owner was standing in line at Walmart with his 7 workers beside him. As they got ready to check out, he had $7 to spend. And they had a dollar to spend between them. The gap between the rich and the poor was so great 200 years ago, 100 years ago. The Lord Jesus said about that. He said, there was a rich man. Some scholars call him Dives. He had everything he wanted. And then the Pharisees who were listening to the story said, yeah, he was a man of God if he was wealthy, because they considered wealth a statement of God, of pleasure, of acceptance. As Jesus told the story, he said, at his gate lay a poor man. And Jesus said his body was full of sores. But Dives did nothing. Dives passed him by. So the only comfort he had was from the street dogs. Jesus said they came and they licked his sores. But not Dives. He wouldn't bring comfort to him. He was consumed with his wealth. Then Jesus said this. Both of them died. Dives went to hell. Not because he was a rich man. The poor man went to heaven. Not because he was a poor man. But because of their faith in God, or lack thereof. And Dives was able to look over into heaven, and he saw Lazarus, and he saw Abraham, the great man of faith. He said, Abraham, please send Lazarus to this place, and to have him dip his finger in water and come and touch my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. And the Lord Jesus said, Abraham said to him, he can't come, and you can't come to us. He told him earlier, he said, Dives, in your lifetime you had a lot, and he had a little. Now he's got a lot. And you have a little. Send him back to my brothers at least. So he can warn them to come, to not come to this place of torment. And this is what Abraham told him. They have that. It's plain as day right there. They have what Moses said in the prophets. If they're not willing to believe that, they will not be convinced if somebody is raised from the dead with a message from God. And that is true. And y'all listen. James also said this. When you know what to do, and you don't do it, he said, that's sin. May we not be the people that neglect those that need what God has blessed us with. Amen? Lord, may we share. Lord, please, please, do not let us accumulate and neglect those that need what you have blessed us with. So, Lord, it's a one-on-one thing. It's between us and you. And, Lord, it's just what you say to us. And so, Lord, whatever you're speaking tonight about, Lord, help us to respond individually to what you're saying. And help us to give in a way that you want us to do. Whether it's financially, whether it's some of the stuff that you've blessed us with, the wonderful things, whether it's giving our time. Lord, you just tell us individually what you want us to do. It's a thing between you and us. So we trust you with that. Blessing this invitation. And Lord, we pray in your name. As we stand together and sing, if God wants you to come to the altar, or let that altar be right where you stand, whatever he tells you to do.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Paul said this. He said, the things that I considered valuable to me, I counted them as garbage so that I might know Christ. Y'all, God had a word tonight. And Lord Jesus, we can't do anything with it unless you help us. So Lord, you help us to do what you've called us to do, one by one, this week and every week. In your name. And all God's people said, amen. Y'all have a great week. Love you, love you, love you. Y'all are the best.